Engineering management can be a lonely place. Welcome to Managers Club, where you'll find interviews with top engineering leaders and managers to help and inspire you. Listen to the real-life stories of successful and ambitious engineering leaders who are focused to lead their teams to bigger and better outcomes. This is Managers Club.
Good afternoon, Josie. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today on Managers Club.
Happy to. It's great being here.
Well, it's great. It's great to have you. Maybe you could just start out, tell us a little bit about your current role and what you do, and then maybe like your background and how you got into management. I was reading your profile, and you've had a really awesome career in engineering leadership.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so I'm currently the Senior Director of Platform Engineering at Tile. And so for those of you who don't know Tile, we're connecting the world to find everything that matters. So we're a Bluetooth tracker that you can put on your keys or anything else that you don't want to lose. And so recently we've been moving more towards integrating the Tile technology into other devices, and that's really where my role lies. So I help integrate the Tile technology into our partner integration. So the two big integrations I worked on in the last year were empowering the first Tile-enabled laptop with HP, as well as we just announced our partnership with Intel to enable software-based tiles on Intel-based laptops. That's a little bit about what I do today. I originally got into management, I guess it was around 8 years ago at this point when I was at Zynga. So I've been in the tech industry for 20 years. My career actually started in management consulting. My undergrad degree is actually in chemistry. My parents wanted me to be a doctor, and so I was getting a chemistry degree, but around my junior year, I realized I had no interest in going to grad school. And so I was like, well, I better get a job when I graduate. And so found a job as a technical management consultant for PricewaterhouseCoopers. And, you know, back then there weren't any like online classes for coding and things like that. So they sent everybody to a 3-month boot camp in Florida to learn to code. And I really picked it up quickly. And so they actually sent me to the Bay Area to take a training class on a technology called Broad Vision, which doesn't exist anymore. And I pretty much fell in love. This was 1999, the middle of the dot-com boom. I just was in love with the culture, the weather, the technology. I was like, I need to come out here, and this is amazing. And so a couple months later, I applied to some jobs out here, and I got a job as a web developer at a tiny dot-com startup that failed, like many of the other early 2000s, late 90s startups. That's kind of where I started my tech career. And so most recently, I've been doing management at Zynga, where I led the Chefville team, which was one of our largest Facebook games, as well as ads, which were a large part of Zynga's revenue. Then I went and managed some of the Siri domains at Apple. I focused on music during the development of the HomePod, Siri on Apple TV, where we actually got a technical Emmy, which was pretty cool. And then finally sports as well. And now I'm at Tile, and I love being a manager here. And the other thing I do at Tile is I actually lead diversity and inclusion, which is something I'm also super passionate about.
That's great. I want to ask you about that in a little bit. And I had the Tile products. I mean, that's really great that you work there. Just going back to Zynga for a second, could you say just a few words about how you transitioned from being an IC to a manager?
Yeah. So when I started at Zynga, my first role was as tech lead on the revenue team. So that wasn't a management position, that was actually an IC role, but we had a lot of junior engineers. I had two interns on my team and two new college grads. So I was actually spending a lot of my time also managing and mentoring them, because also we had a, you know, it was a very fast growing startup, and my boss had, I think, like 20 or 30 reports. So, you know, I did some of the management work, and I really enjoyed helping others. And so as I continued in my career at Zynga, after I worked on Cafe World, I ended up becoming the first engineer on Shuffle and helped design the storage system. And I got moved to Cityville for a while to help them with some revenue features there. But when I got moved, but I really loved Sheffield. A lot of my friends worked on that game, and I really wanted to go back and see it get launched. And so when I moved back to working on Sheffield, my manager put me in charge of a couple of the pods, which were building some of the features. And I really enjoyed, you know, just kind of having the experience of getting to manage the team. And I really was successful at helping coordinate everything between all of the different teams and got the team to launch the game, which was pretty awesome. And so after we launched the game, my boss got moved to one of the central tech org, and so I actually got promoted to be the director of engineering for Shuffle. So I got to run it through the live ops process, which was pretty cool. So that's kind of how I got into management. But what's interesting is I've gone in and out of management a couple times. When I left Apple in early 2018, I was pretty frustrated with how women in tech got treated. And so I actually left and started my own small business. And part of what I ended up doing was contracting part-time at Tile as a freelance software developer to pay the bills while I was building my small business. I actually left Zynga for a year and then came back. I moved to Florida to be with my dad after my mom passed away. And when I came back to Zynga, there wasn't actually a management role available. So I actually joined as a principal engineer in the CTO org. So I've actually gone back and forth a couple times because I really do like the architecture part too. And so I think that's why I actually kind of really enjoy my current role, because it's a little bit of a blend of being a technical architect as well as getting to manage a team. So currently I manage a small team of five Windows developers and our QAs, and they built the Windows app for our integration last year. And so I got to really build that team. So it's been awesome managing them. But the other half of my role, like I mentioned, is really doing all of the different partner integrations. And so I still get to work on the technical architectures as we integrate with all of the different partners, but then really get to influence the rest of the engineering team to make sure that they're building what we need for our partners, but that also aligns with our core business. So it's kind of a nice blend for me.
Wow, that's great. So that's very interesting how you've gone back and forth a couple times.
Could you share with us what is the biggest challenge you face as an engineering leader?
I think the biggest challenge I currently face is really time management and prioritization. I have to balance incoming partner requests, making sure I'm spending the time to be an effective manager for my team, learning new technologies, spending time on diversity and inclusion efforts, and continuing to learn and grow. And so I think this is one of the biggest challenges leaders really face, And especially with new managers, they tend to feel overwhelmed sometimes about how to schedule their calendars. And I think a really big thing is really learning to say no to things that aren't really aligned with your top goals.
Josie, I know you're super passionate about diversity and inclusion, and specifically women in tech. Could you say a little bit about your involvement in that and your passion behind it?
Yes, I'm very passionate about the women in tech space. In early 2018, I almost left the tech industry when I left Apple after facing a lot of the challenges that women in tech face, but I realized something. I saw a statistic, which is that 56% of women leave tech after 10 to 20 years. And that's twice as many as men. I realized if I walked away from tech, I'd be becoming that statistic and walking away from having the ability to impact the future. Because technology is honestly impacting all aspects of our daily lives. But unfortunately, it doesn't really fully address the needs of women and other underrepresented minorities. Voice assistants are less accurate with female voices. Facial recognition software doesn't work as well with those with darker skin tones. Apple's health kit didn't include menstruation cycles when it was first released. And the list goes on and on. And if you don't have diverse teams creating the technology, we're not going to end up addressing their needs. And so I'm really on a mission to keep women in tech and really help companies create cultures of belonging where their diverse team members can thrive.
Could you share with us a lesson you've learned as an engineering leader?
I think one of the most important lessons I've learned as an engineering leader is really making sure to be empathetic and ask questions instead of really telling people what to do. It's much more effective, and people are much more willing to actually do what you want them to if you engage them and make sure they really understand what the vision is and, you know, how to tie that back to the work they're doing. And if you provide a clear vision of done and then kind of get out of the way, I think that's the best engineering managers are really about empowering their teams to help them by really asking them the right questions to think about things and challenges they might not have thought of and really help unblock them, much more so than really telling people what to do.
This can be a big challenge for engineering leaders with regards to both diversity and inclusion and even just hiring in a very competitive job market. So could you share with us, what's your approach towards hiring and recruiting?
So my answer to this question is actually going to be within the lens of diversity and inclusion, because I think there's so many important pieces to share. There are lots of places that bias can really impact the hiring process. Job descriptions can have gendered language that can turn off female applicants. If you have too many requirements, that can also be an issue. Women are only going to apply to jobs if they meet 100% of the requirements, whereas for men, it's 60%. And then there's the interview process itself in reducing bias there. Can you do blind resume reviews? It turns out if a group looks at two resumes with the same qualifications, but one has a male name and one has a female name, the male candidate is thought of more favorably, while the female candidate can sometimes be considered more assertive or more aggressive. So there's lots of challenges within hiring. So it's, what about, you know, getting rid of the names when you're reviewing resumes? during the interview process. Take the time to really define what your level and criteria are, and make sure you're grading everybody on the same way.
So I know you've been, you know, an IC and a manager who's transitioned a couple times. What would be your advice for managers who are just starting out?
If you freak out in your first 6 months while doing the transition from IC to manager, that is okay. Most managers who do that transition go through that process. And the reason is a lot of things, right? You need to develop these soft skills, which may be very different from the technical skills that you are really leveraging as your strengths. The reward system as a manager is totally different. As an IC, you're told generally what to accomplish, and if you do that really, really well, you get rewarded for it. But as a manager, it's about being inclusive with your team and really feeling intrinsic rewards for your team's accomplishments, right? It's not about taking credit for what your team did. It's for empowering your team to be successful. And it takes some time to adapt to that. And it's okay if it ends up feeling awkward and you end up going through some panic attack, like, did I really decide to do the right thing? If you go through that, just take some time to really reflect why you wanted to be a manager and see that it still aligns with what you're accomplishing on a day-to-day basis.
That's great. Definitely the rewards and is totally different. Could you say a little bit, you know, as a manager, because I know you said, like, yeah, if you're not freaking out at the beginning, one of the things is there's a lot to do when you're a manager. Could you maybe discuss, like, what's your workday like? How do you manage the inflow of, like, emails, meetings, all the various things there are to do?
Yeah, so I have a very meeting-full calendar, especially because I have a lot of partner integrations. I'm usually in at least 4 to 5 hours of meetings a day, if not closer to 6. And so there's usually very little time for me to get stuff done. And so I time block. Time blocking is a huge thing for me. I block out time to get work done. I'm kind of a productivity geek, and so I really have been spend a lot of time thinking about how best to be most productive and how best to manage my time. And self-care, I think, is so important as a manager, and it's something we tend to not think so much about. But if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't be the best at helping our employees. And so, you know, really taking the time to work out. Like, I actually take an hour off 3 days a week during lunch and work out for an hour. Currently doing it on Zoom in my living room. But yeah, taking the time for self-care, getting enough sleep. One of the biggest things I tell people right now, especially with everybody working at home, is when you wake up, and spend 15 minutes to really think about what you want to accomplish that day and set aside the time in your calendar to do the things you want to get done. And, you know, pick your top 3 things, right? And schedule those to get them done. And set an end time when you're going to just shut down your computer, right? And it's okay if that's flexible, right? It's okay if you know, hey, I know today is going to be a long meeting day, but I want to get some coding done in the evening, so I'm not going to be done till like 9 o'clock at night. But when 9 o'clock at night comes around, shut down your computer and keep that promise to yourself. And I think that really helps with, you know, setting a boundary between, you know, work time and, you know, really giving yourself time to recuperate, to really be a better manager. And the other thing I tell managers is set aside time to think. right? A lot of what we need to do is about being strategic. And so it's about setting aside time to really ask the questions around what can I improve? What are the things that are changing that I need to think about? What are the projects that are coming up that I need to start thinking about planning? You know, are there better processes we can be, you know, implementing as things are changing? Those are some of the things I do.
I think that's great. You know, in particular, you know, setting aside time to think is so important because you can get so just caught up in the day-to-day. So I love that tip. Could you say, is there maybe a personal habit that you think has contributed to your success?
So yes, I think the biggest one is just time management. I pretty much every Sunday set aside 15 to 30 minutes to go over my week, review how it went, plan my week in the future. And then every morning, like I mentioned, I set aside 15 minutes in the morning to really plan my day and really think about what are my goals for today? What do I want to accomplish? And, you know, really be deliberate about those things.
That's great. Is there maybe some internet resource or tool that you depend on that really helps you with your work?
Back to me being a productivity geek, my biggest thing has been finding the right way to manage my to-dos and the things I have coming up that I want to do. And so I've been using an app called Things, which I really love because it lets me plan today, upcoming. I can create lists for things that are just like ideas that I might want to schedule in the future. I use it for planning everything from my personal life to from what we're going to garden in our backyard to how it's how I end up managing all of our partner projects and keeping it in my head straight. What are all the different things I need to do for all of our different partners? I think Things has been one of my most valuable tools.
Oh, I love that recommendation. Yeah, I'm like a productivity geek too. I'm always looking for better tools to do things with. If you could recommend one book to managers, what would it be and why?
The one book I really like recommending to managers is called Being the Boss with Linda Hill. And the reason I like that book is it talks about how managing really means you manage in three directions. You have to manage up to your boss and, you know, the executives at your company. You have to manage down to, you know, the people who report to you. And you really have to manage yourself and your peers, right, and your relationships with them. And, you know, these three different directions can actually be a challenges and conflict with each other. And it really talks about how to think about those three different areas of managing and how to balance them. And I really like that. And I really like this book because it doesn't matter what type of leader or manager you are. You could be, you know, a technical manager. You know, I've had, you know, designers read this book because I think it applies across like everybody in management.
Wow, I haven't read that book, but I'm going to check it out. It sounds super, super interesting. Josie, could you tell us a little about your approach to coaching and mentoring people? I think you are, as you said, very passionate about that. I'd just love to hear a little bit more of the details.
Yes. So I started the mentoring program at Tile, and we've done three iterations of it now, and I also mentor on a number of platforms. So it's something I'm very passionate about, and I think it's so important in tech, especially with respect to women and underrepresented minorities. So especially for all of the engineers, really do take the time to find somebody who might not be exactly like you to mentor. And my approach to mentoring is really about asking questions and helping the other person find the solution within themselves. A lot of times, people don't need you to give them the answer. And when I tell people this approach, a lot of the first hesitation I get is, oh, if I start asking a lot of questions, aren't they going to realize that at some point I might not have all the answers? And that's okay. You don't have to always have all the answers. And in a lot of ways, it's more powerful to ask the right questions so the people you're mentoring can come to the solution themselves.
Got it. All right. Josie, you've been like super generous with your time, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's great to have more women leaders and to hear their stories. Where can people go to learn more about you if they wanted to connect with you?
Yeah, so the place I'm most available on social media is on LinkedIn. So definitely look me up on LinkedIn, and I'd be happy to connect.
LinkedIn's a great resource. Sounds good. All right, well, thanks again, and I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. It was great chatting.